the grade cricketer is a Twitter stream. It's about playing cricket at the grade level.
It's a tough, mean, dirty, dirty business being a grade cricketer.
A lot of cricketers, you know, that's all they know. They've done it since they're 10 and they have a deep-seated fear of change.
But the grade cricket is all about being the most alpha version of yourself as possible at all costs and at all times.
I don't bat or bowl. I just feel the gully, count the number of dot balls in a row, sledge 15-year-olds, make me feel better about myself.
Thanks champ.
Oh, no, you called me champ.
Hello and welcome to the Grade Cricketer Podcast. Welcome to episode 109, Pez, is that right? 109?
I think so.
109. We're talking CA Awards. We're talking David Warner being the biggest contributor to Australian cricket this year. Mm. We're talking Jofra Archer's elbow, Big Bash final, Under-19 World Cup. It's all here, and we are all here in Melbourne. Ian Higgins here with Sam Perry. Pez, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good night, good afternoon.
Something like that, wherever you are around the world. Afternoon, evening, night. It's Tuesday, so
yeah,
we're a little bit late.
We're late,
getting
yeah.
the cast out.
That's right.
Apologies to those who refresh maniacally, manically.
Yeah. Hey, boys, where's the podcast?
Yeah.
Any danger?
Any danger. Yeah, we had the privilege of heading out to the CA Awards last night and enjoyed a reasonably substantial evening. I would say that'd be my words, and then I've used them.
Yeah, and you don't speak for me, but I will speak for myself now and say that, well, I'm wearing sunglasses inside. You're wearing a hat. It's all going on. Unfortunately, Dave can't join us this episode because we are in Melbourne and Sydney side of Dave couldn't join. But, mate, one of those things where, like, none of these things could be possible without the people who listen to this show, so we should be thankful for that.
We are.
But let's get straight into the CA Awards.
Yeah.
Dave Warner, rightfully, in my opinion, was the best player that Australian cricket had this year.
Why are you smiling on one side of your mouth?
Steve Smith
exclusively
won no accolades last night. He did not win any awards last night. No awards.
Amazing. It's amazing that, like, in a 12-month period that saw one of, if not the greatest batting performances in
the history of cricket?
Living memory, really, just to be conservative.
Yep.
It bore no recognition.
No recognition.
On the evening, there was literally no...
No highlights.
There's no highlights. Yeah. There's no conversation about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they'll... Yeah. I mean, you know, the system is the system.
That's a good point.
But there was, just no gong for Steve Smith single-handedly retaining the Ashes for Australia, something that the nation hasn't been able to do for 20 years.
Mate, if you put the shoe on the other foot, imagine, like, England's would be the same thing would be, like, if Jofra comes here in 2 years' time and, like, single-handedly just, like, he takes, like, 60 wickets, just blows us away and they retain the Ashes or they have to win.
And Jack Leach wins BBC Sports Personality of the Year.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. Funny glasses, though.
Exactly. Yeah, it is, yeah. He's got the four-eyes thing going on.
Mate, it's the system that's broken because and I blame the government, man.
Yeah, dude.
It's Dave Warner has had an amazing year, and like he accrued the most points in the most matches. Like he won like that. But like there needs to be a way. Like there's only one. There's two series, I suppose, this year that's mattered: the World Cup and the Ashes. Mm. And Dave Warner hit 300s in the World Cup. He had a great World Cup, really good. Didn't see him play much in the Ashes.
No.
If I'm honest.
Yes. 90, be honest.
96 runs, 97 runs. Stuart Broad's a good bowler, but...
Yeah, great bowler.
A bit around the wicket stuff.
Well, we talk a lot about, like, right kind of runs. Wicket, and that's what cricket has become, and it should be. Like, things should be weighted differently, like school subjects, you know, for your HSC or whatever they call it these days, your inter-score, whatever it is. Mm. I think Test cricket's no different, except not at the CA Awards. Mm. There's no right kind of runs. It's just runs. It's just and runs. That kind of suits a certain style of personality.
Certain style of personality.
You get the most runs, you get 3 points, that's it.
Yeah. You know? Well, Manus Labuschagne was a Test Player of the Year. He achieved the most in Test cricket this year for Australia.
He was Australia's best Test player.
That's right.
It was last year.
It's amazing.
Not sure he was.
It's amazing.
With respect to his summer.
He's had an amazing summer. Leading Test run scorer in the world. He scored more runs than Smith. He scored more runs than anyone in Test cricket last year. 1,200, I think, runs. No, went past 1,000 anyway. Amazing summer. Mm. But he got his runs against fucking Mitchell Santner.
Mm. And Colin de Gronde.
Yeah, who's a good bowler. Don't get me wrong. Opens by New Zealand. That's second best Test team in the world. Yeah. You can't put that to one side.
Okay. So you're a bit different on the mic than off mic. You're doing it. You got a bit going on
well,
mic.
Also, I'm facing the wall whilst my mouth is
you
pointed
are,
at
why
you.
Why are you in the corner? Anyway, yeah, no, hungover.
Yeah.
That's not clear.
Tim Payne's a good bloke. It's so hard to explain like how amazing Smith was. I mean, everyone who listens to the show, UK, Hong Kong, Australia, Russia, all those people will know that like the only cricket that mattered this year was the Ashes and the World Cup. Steve Smith single-handedly, as you rightly said, Pez, did that for Australia. Matt Wade was unlucky though, scored 100 at the Oval.
And in the absence of Smith, how many wickets did Cummins get? 70-odd?
Yeah, number one test bowler.
All three formats, was not excluded from the team for...
various reasons.
Yeah. He was excluded from them. only three guys knew.
Yeah.
And that's always been
the thing.
He
didn't know what was going on. No one knew.
But look, so I thought, in the absence of Smith, I thought I'll accept Cummins. But Warner was wearing the white jacket last night. Obviously, you wear the white jacket.
Yep.
You've won the AB medal from the men's perspective. And look, I must say I was extremely impressed with his highly off-the-cuff speech.
Oh, yeah.
That he gave.
Yeah.
The ability to just call on a number of precepts of crisis management and just general principles of image recovery in one speech.
Well, he also started the bushfire appeal match, as Kevin Roberts pointed out before he won the award.
Yeah, that's a new piece of news.
Yeah,
bit of news. Well, two pieces of news last night that stuck out
what
to
else?
Me. One that Warner created the bushfire appeal, and two that Sachin Tendulkar requested an old ball from Elise Perry.
We need to talk about that.
He wanted to use a new pill, and he said, no, thank you.
Yeah. We were informed by a player involved in that scenario that he requested that he'd not face a new ball when he was facing Elise Perry. He's like, I'll play one over. I'll use Dan Christian's bat.
Yeah.
Use his stick. What's his 2.9? Feels like 2.10.
Yeah, exactly.
And didn't want the new pill. Can you buy a back of a length?
Yeah.
Just buy a back of a length.
Well, it was a bit like that. I mean, and look, because I've just moved us along to the bushfire of the actual game.
Yeah.
And it feels like there was a few agreements made beforehand.
Yeah.
And maybe when you look back on it, you think, actually a bit of pressure on Sachin for that over. I mean, he played it as though he was getting himself in the nets for six balls and it was over.
Yeah, yeah.
I was nerdle a few around the corner, played pretty straight, just to get my eye in. It's over now.
So
it would have been nice if he'd played a shot. It would have been nice if, we asked Elise Perry last night, did you think about having a look upstairs? And she said, oh, yeah, last night, until he said, I'm only playing with an old ball. Like, brilliant. That'll do.
Mate, can you imagine the turmoil in India had, Sachin just nicked off to Elise, or Annabel Sutherland, who finished the over.
That's right.
Scratched him off.
Well, and this is the thing, was this a kind of underhanded tacit agreement between Australian cricket and the BCCI and Cricket Australia manage the over in that way? Because I believe if Elise Perry had nicked off Tendulkar, bowled him, littered him, I mean that could have reversed the fortunes of Australian cricket. That could have catapulted Australian cricket back to the top of the heap because I don't think India are recovering for a good couple of years.
Well, India are still reeling from that 1-0 loss in the ODI series.
Good
where
point.
Australia won by 10 wickets in
good
that
point.
One game that they played. Mate, do you remember back in the day there was another charity game? It was like a Bradman 11 versus something else and like Zoe Goss. Do you remember Zoe Goss was, in my eyes, the original Elise
I do
Perry,
remember.
And she scratched off Lara in that charity game.
And scratched then, off and stumped. It was sort of out twice.
Oh,
the
that's
same
right.
Ball.
That's right. Yeah, SCG stuff.
Yeah.
And that was like back in the day. And then I remember like a game like not long after that when you could like bring signs into the ground like big banners which weren't like it's okay to be white or whatever happened to the Optus Stadium stuff went like back in
Cricket
the day.
Cricket Australia came down hard on that actually.
Real hard, mate. Yeah. They, another good decision on their ratio of punishments for what's good and what's not.
A couple beers.
But I remember like someone brought a sign saying like, oh, don't worry, Brian Zoe's not playing in like a test match when he came here like the year after that or whatever.
Hit.
And
he made 146.
Trouble early though.
Yeah.
Trouble early. Don't you reckon there was a little bit with the bushfire game getting into that because just we've forgotten about the Big Bash entirely and the under-19s and whatever else.
Mm.
But with that game, it was a bit like... I was like pumped up for it. I was like, it's going to be awesome. And then just like the first over was, who bowled it? Might have been Siddle. And it was off like three paces. And I was like, we're just watching a net.
Yeah.
And actually that reminds me as well. What's with the new fucking social media genre of just like, let's watch blokes have a net and fucking jerk off to it. Like, you remember like the Kohli thing a couple of years ago? It's like, oh, that went viral. It was fucking everywhere. And it was like, he's an international player having a net. And now it's like, oh, we saw Ponting's one last week. And it was like, oh, it's nice to watch Ricky bat. But now, like, you look at everything.
The sounds are good though.
Two years ago, it's like, I just don't.
Litchfield looks good though. You watch it though.
I mean,
are you asking or are you?
I don't know what I'm doing, man. I'm tired.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, it's a long summer.
It's cricket ASMR.
Yeah,
I mean, the sound of the ball on the bat is.
I've seen that online. That stuff.
Exactly, yeah. So it's trending in Australia. Those ones. Easy. Yeah. Don't go to Gronholm, though. No. That's for sure.
Number two test in the world.
Oh, yeah, it's a new genre, obviously, and everyone's trying to do it now. And you see something that's just a little bit more sort of B-rated, C-rated. So,
yeah.
Only do it if it's good.
Of the match, there was like, I told you this last night, but like there was like this innocuous moment where obviously like when Hayden and Lange are walking out to the middle, you go, oh, fucking hell, I'm 17 again, it's 2003 or whatever, and it's just, everything's great. Mm. But there was like this innocuous moment in the game where like Ponting was filling in like on the ring in cover and the ball was like trickled out to the offside. He picked it up and he did like his Ponting throw. It was like his head was leaning to the right-hand side. He did it like his arm was lower than perpendicular and he did it like on a slingy, like the Ponting chuck.
Yep.
And I was like, fuck, that is cricket. That was cricket for me, man. Yeah. Like my entire childhood, just Ponting runouts.
Yep.
Ponting was like the guy, like because Jonty Rhodes was sort of before my time a little bit in terms of like didn't appreciate. Right. And he was South African, so obviously not a hero of mine.
I had a dog called Jonty.
Yeah?
Carry on.
But yeah, Ponting just like chucked it into Brad Haddin, who's probably the cleanest wicketkeeper Australia's ever had.
He's
clean. I reckon.
He was neat.
Neat.
Yeah. Healy's neat.
Healy was neat, but Haddin's angles with his elbows and just tidy inside hip, that kind of stuff.
Love it.
But yeah, Ponting just like chucked this ball and I was like, oh, well, there was a lot of shape. Childhood.
Even though they were like obviously good 30-40% off what we saw when they were elite, they were still making shapes that you recognised.
Yeah.
Gilchrist's pull shot. Mm-hmm. He didn't get it.
Mm.
But the way
didn't even get it.
Yeah, but the arc of the bat brought back memories.
So before,
I mean, like I was expecting to feel safe watching this game. Mm. We've talked about that before, but not fucking 18-minute rendition of True Blue by John Williamson safe, you know.
Are we doing the third verse, are we, John?
I didn't realise that there was such a thing as snarky tears. I was simultaneously laughing and emotional watching that because I was like, he's gone for a fourth verse. That's unbelievable. I'm you know, extremely online thinking about that.
Oh,
but
mate.
At the same time, I'm still going, is it mom or dad?
Mate, I was so fired up. I almost went to a Wallabies game.
Yeah, exactly. That's mate, I ran through the wall. started tackling my son.
What are you doing? National anthem? Yeah. Nah, a bit of Trevor, I reckon.
Run at me.
Yeah. I thought,
and then seeing Hayden.
Hayden.
I mean, you see, you can't laugh when they're overlaying actual bushfire footage. It's, so that part, I'm not.
Yeah.
That part's off the radar for jokes.
Yeah.
But then when they flick to Hayden miming the words,
I'm gonna have a go.
At that. Yeah, especially when and then when Williamson's prompting people saying, "I'm about to say cockatoo," "I'm about to say mum and dad," and everyone's singing out. I mean, is there a song more out the side of your mouth?
It's a side
the
mouth.
Whole song, it's a side mouth song. You can't sing it with a full mouth. Yeah.
Mate, this is like, I mean, I was watching and I was like, oh. You can't really sledge a bushfire game because,
$7.7 million.
It's awesome. It's such a good thing. And there's going to be one every year now because of climate change. Well,
that's right. Don't worry, Sydney. There'll be another one.
There'll be another one. Yeah. We'll get around it. It's fine. We'll have another go
more
in a couple
benefits.
Of years.
Well, especially if governments are chipping the way they are.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, government's really reaching into the pocket.
Private enterprise will sort it.
Yeah, private enterprise. Yeah, just get the fans to pay for stuff. Well, that was a weird conversation we just had without looking at each other. But yeah, there were moments where I was like, "This is silly that I'm watching this." But yeah, it was also awesome to like just fucking see the guys again, see the boys again, like the great Australian.
Well, and I do think that the highlight, if you're thinking about shapes, the highlight was Lara inside out over cover.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
That was. I mean, I don't know. I mean, lucky we're not in words. Lucky that's not our job to communicate via words, but it was something.
Yeah, it was something, mate. I was talking to a close personal friend of mine, Nathan Lyon.
Just do it. I mean,
just do the thing. Yeah.
Let's be insiders now.
Let's be insiders.
Because people appreciate
it. Let's be
insiders.
Exclusive. Yeah, exactly. On the Grade Cricketer podcast. Yeah.
Become such great mates with them that we have feel free to comment and critically about them later on. No, he's actually a pretty good bloke, the guy.
He was talking about bowling to Lara in the nets.
Yeah.
And he's like, mate, you smash me. He was like, oh, I was buying balls like Nick Blokes off and just smashing me. Mm. He's 50. But he looked good though, Lara, didn't he? Oh, was good.
He looked really good.
He looked good. Yeah. He's 50 years old.
Anyone disappoint you in terms of... Like Hayden couldn't hit one for square.
Everyone was a bit like... Even Ponting was building an innings in a 10-over game. Yeah.
Well, you can see in his eyes. He's like, I must succeed in this game.
I must win this game. We're here to win. I can imagine the team talk beforehand. We're going to let's fucking get these blokes.
Yeah, absolutely. Until Shane Watson hit 30 off 9.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see a bloke who's still playing high-level cricket.
Mm.
Who disappointed? No, it was just like, it was just seeing all your greats, but just like 50%, like just missing 50%, you know?
Except that like, you're like, oh, they're only bowling 110, 120. It's like, yeah, that's quick for you. That's quick for any grade player.
Oh, yeah. Brett Lee was bowling 125.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they showed the stump cam and you could see the ball coming at the bat, you're like, that's quite quick.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember being scared of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into the Big Bash final. Let's get into the actual cricket that's happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the entire story of the Big Bash season has just been the Stars. I think we like called it. I think they won like the first four games in a row, and we're like, "Fuck!" You look at their team. It's like it's a fucking good team. It's a good team.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the table the other day, and Sixers finished 1 point behind them and played a game less. They had a game. They finished one win off them.
Yeah.
And they played one less game. They had like a washout or a smoke game, or whatever.
They had a smoke game. Yeah, that's a new lexicon.
Smoke bomb. But so I feel like the story is like the Sixers won the game, 12 overs each side. But like you look at the Stars team and it's like, fuck, how did they lose a game? It's good.
Mm.
It's also funny. Like, it's just funny.
But then, the Sixers side was good value for it in the final. Where they I don't know how they got on.
It's been so wet.
Yeah.
Back in Sydney. Fuck, I'm breaking news there as well.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah. Bit of rain about. Having like a 2:30.
Have a look at dude. Yeah.
I'm talking memes now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I was looking at because all the test players are playing like for New South Wales now. New South Wales got the test bowling attack. Sixers, Hazelwood back, Steve Smith back. That's handy.
They wouldn't have been worried or intimidated in any way.
No. Nah.
That Sixers side.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the analysis.
Mate. Josh Philippe.
Ooh, little accent.
Is, how old is he? 22.
I think 22.
22, yeah. Mate, he's good.
Yeah, good player.
He's good.
Good little player.
Yeah. At the beginning, like when he hit I think like a 50 or a 70 in the first game, and everyone was like, oh, this guy's going to captain the 80 test for Australia. And I was like, let's just cool your heels there. Cool your jets.
Relax.
Yeah.
Alex Carey's got to be captain first.
Yeah. He's got to have a go. Well, Smith's got to get it first, and then Carey. And then Warner will have a go. Mate. But Philippe, he's good. Philippe's good.
Yeah, real deal.
How many tests?
I'm not sure because there is a question mark in a negative way, but I do think that as soon as you start talking about him as a test prospect, people don't say that his glove work is exceptional. In the way that they would like their glovemen to be exceptional.
Yep.
You could say the same thing about Gilchrist, arguably. So, how do you strike? Oh, in terms of he wasn't in that side. For glove work first.
Yeah.
It was batting and glove work does a very good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is well explained.
Yep.
So, I think that's the thing. That's the next thing that seems to come in that conversation. But, he's I wouldn't say he's next cab, but he's in the rank.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
He might be close for the World Cup squad. The T20 World Cup squad. He might be.
His only problem is Warne keeps plumping for him.
Yeah, it's not good.
Historically. It's not good for a player.
Historically incorrect, yeah.
Yeah.
Darcy Short did have a good test season this year,
good
though. Mate, what else?
Well, Warne wanted Maxwell at three in all three forms. Wants Stoinis in there.
Oh, God, I remember when Maxwell batted three for Australia in test matches. It's funny. It's a different age. Mate, the whole conversation with the Big Bash hasn't been like who won the games or like anything. It's just all about engagement, audience, crowds. That's the entire conversation about it. Do you reckon it's been good? I feel like the overriding thing with the Big Bash is like it's such a great concept and you can't like – It's okay to acknowledge like how successful it's been. 9 years now, every country in the world except for India are like, that's a really successful model. We want a piece of that. England are fucking creating 100 ball tournaments and shit to try and match it. So you can say like it's been good, but also just want it to be a bit better.
Well, that's Australia though, in a way.
Binary stuff.
Well, it's really complex. The argument feels like it's been so muddied.
Mm.
Every time someone expresses, doesn't seem to be that many people at the Big Bash, or doesn't seem to have the same amount of hype or momentum as it's had a few years ago, which is a valid thing to say.
Yeah.
It seems to get kind of countered with like 37 graphs to the contrary, which start bringing into play media trends, afternoon games, school holidays, Kyrgios is going well. Yeah. It's really difficult to work out whether it's going well or not. Yeah. I think it probably, you know, answer lies somewhere in the middle. I think it's probably quite good, except that we just love in Australia to chip anything if it's not as good as it, if it hasn't hit its peak. You know, we do that with our sports teams as well, you know. Yeah. We're not as good as the late 90s. We're not winning golds like we did in 2000. Therefore, the team's not as good as that.
Mate, it's also a thing where, like, where cricket's got such a stranglehold on the summer in a sport that, like, there is no competition. What's the competition? A-League, like Premier League, NBA, like the overseas sports where you can sledge it.
But... and there's a lot of people who of a particular demographic saying, look, BBL went for too long. You've got to finish it, you know, Australia Day or when school holidays is done or whatnot. I understand that for hype. However, I'm in Melbourne. I'm watching – I'm just flicking through Twitter the other day. ABC Melbourne's on. There's a new host, Sammy J. Mm-hmm. He's in there singing a song to Gillon McLachlan, like in February. Gillon McLachlan's face, AFL CEO, to his face. Or flanked by media flags. And it's a big social thing. It's got thousands of retweets, really? Et cetera, because it's a funny song. I'm like – gee, I would have thought February's probably Kevin Roberts' time. Yeah. But no, it's AFL. And so there's this kind of, it's like, would AFL go 12 months of the year if it could? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it just, so when we say we want BBL to be shorter, do we care for what we wish for a little bit? Because maybe AFL just come in there. Mm. AFLW's now kicked off. Mm. You know, when's AFL getting into January? Mm. You know, maybe we need the BBL to be extended. You know what I mean? Just to take it because... you know, it's a fair dinkum.
True blue.
It is everywhere. Yeah, true blue, mate.
Mate, that's funny because obviously living in Sydney, I that didn't appear on my timeline. Mm. So it's just, you know, it's all echo chamber. That's all I'm saying. Mm. I don't know. Mate, Big Bash, it seems good to me, but like it just can be a bit better.
Just a bit better.
How? So better. Mate, what's better fucked players? Is like the Australian cricket team stopped playing in Australia on fucking January 6-7. Mm. Like that was the end of cricket for the national cricket team.
Yeah,
in Australia, January.
But India told us what to do. We do what India says.
That money had that one match series over there. Yeah. I suppose it's pretty good. Good game. Yeah. Mate, do you want to talk about the Under-19 World Cup?
Sure. Yeah.
Bangladesh won the tournament.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
Yeah,
and Australia go to the Under-19 champions in a Test series in June.
Yeah,
are you excited for that?
I am excited for Australia ever trying to win something in Asia because we don't do it. Mm. I mean, we didn't do it last time we were there.
We could
win.
We could not win that series. Oh, Shakib Al Hassan's not playing.
He's not playing,
because he did some stuff, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah. Well, although he was convicted of it.
Yeah. I think he admitted it.
I think he admitted
just say,
to it.
Just keep saying allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Yeah.
Allegedly admitted to it.
He killed that bloke, yeah.
Yeah, allegedly. 19's World Cup. Well, I mean, we said this on another thing that we do, but the leading run scorer was Shavi Joshua.
That's the story.
He's called runs in the final as well when all of his teammates kind of fell around him. He's this Indian player.
Can you tell the audience what this bloke's about?
Yeah. Joshua? I can, Joshua. Yeah. So, it was an article that appeared in Crick Info last week.
It appeared.
And obviously you don't really... identify with like an under-19s prodigy from India who's probably going to go on
not
to be the next Kohli, Tendulkar, etc. But then I saw this article from Crick Info and I'm like, well, he's actually got a lot more in common with us than most of us.
What's he done?
With most of us. Well, an article emerged that his coach and father figure has turned up to the World Cup to watch him in secret.
In secret.
Because Joshua has requested that he not come to the tournament. But so instead what the coach and father figures, inverted commas, did was just fly to Potchefstroom, watch him, and revealed himself only when Joshua became the tournament's leading run scorer.
He revealed himself. I am here.
At the side of the side screen.
I am coach and father figure. Yeah.
So we all understand
from
that.
Side screen.
Yeah.
He was on 106.
He was,
He was peed around.
Exactly.
Had 2 bucks on the screening.
And... So sort of reading the article a little bit and it's like, oh, what, you know, what's he about? He's obviously, he's mentored this young man.
That's right.
And congratulations to him for that. And he's like, oh, they got a few techniques and stuff like that. And I just noticed one of the paragraphs said...
Other stuff going on.
Every night he's Mr. Singh. Singh is the coach.
That's
every night he gives me a massage. Even if I forget to ask for it, he comes and does it diligently. Well, it's just in the article. You can read the article. It's Crick Info.
Even if I forget.
And the other thing I noted, and this is for aspiring coaches out there, is that, when Joshua was nominated and picked up in the IPL in the auction by Rajasthan Royals when Mr. Singh explained that although he was picked up in the IPL, I need to keep his feet on the ground, so I sent him out to buy groceries that day. So for all those budding coaches out there, just a couple of things you can do to keep your players' feet on the ground if they're doing well.
I wonder if Kane Richardson's coach did that. Mate, just getting the woolies.
Yeah. And what was the other one? The other one was he didn't permit him to wear his Indian lid or something.
Yeah, there's something.
He got in trouble for something.
Yeah, but the main takeaway was that he gives him a massage. He gives the coach a massage.
Yeah, he gives him, yeah.
Probably because he's on the wanger. He's on the sidearm. He's probably that sort of like right arm scapula just in the back. Just probably quite sore at the end of the day. Yeah. Give us a massage.
That's when Joshua didn't want him at the tournament. So.
Yeah, Joshua didn't want him there.
Yeah, but he revealed himself.
Yeah.
Did he have to give massages that night? Anyway, he's a good player.
Mate, good little player.
Good player.
You
don't say that.
Yeah. Normal stuff in the under-19s World Cup.
Yeah. It's given us a lot, the 19s World Cup.
It's pretty funny, mate. Australia played in a 7th place playoff.
Yeah, nice.
Against the...
5th place.
5th place against the West Indies.
Windies, yeah.
Yeah, who beat them.
Did they?
Well, they beat them in the... Because West Indies were in the Australian group.
Right.
West Indies beat them first game.
Right.
And then they played them in the 5th place playoff as well. And then there was a washout. Australia got like 320 and then... West Indies like won for 60 or something like that.
Right.
And won because it started to rain or whatever. So Australia therefore finished 6th.
Nice. So, future's looking bright.
Mate, how...
Got some good draft prospects trouble, in the Aussie rules though.
Mate, how much trouble is Australian cricket in the under-19s world?
Yeah, I guess.
Yep. Mate, Jofra Archer is in the news even when he's not playing.
Yeah.
And we're fascinated by Jofra Archer and the England cricket team in general. We're trying to get Johnny Best on the show for 8 years now. And it's been revealed that Jofra Archer's been playing
a lot of double blue bungers. A couple of blue bombers, a couple of blue ticks. Danny. I'm there.
Love you, Danny.
Yeah. come on, Johnny.
Yeah. Jofra Archer's been playing with a stress fracture in his elbow, and on top of this, so Jonathan Lee wrote a really good article for the Guardian, and. It was revealed that it was one of those South African Test matches, Potchefstroom. Oh, what was it? He had like an 8-over full speed bowl off against Mark Wood whilst he had this stress fracture in his arm. He missed 4 of the tests in South Africa because he was injured. He was supposed to play the 4th Test match and then he broke down in the warm up for that game, so he's injured again. He's going to be 3 months out of cricket. This is heading into like the English summer, obviously. He has been like clearly horrifically mismanaged, which has been called that, like journalists were calling about this like 6 months ago about his like workload and stuff. And Joe Root was questioned on it, and he's like, "Oh, I don't think he's been over bowled, but he's played a lot of cricket."
Pardon?
Joe Root's under a bit of, this is like kind of a Joe Root, the way Jonathan Liu wrote the article was kind of like it was a take on Joe Root's captaincy and all the stuff going on and like these workload and stuff. But Jofra Archer is like this incredible talent. Hey, he's 25. So he's like coming into the peak of his powers in probably the next 2 years, you'd say. He's played so much cricket. He's played in the Big Bash. He's played IPL. He's played English county cricket, test match cricket, and just the workload, the amount of overs. Like, this is why Pat Cummins didn't play in Asia. Like, the next series is always the most important one, but like just workload.
That's why Pat Cummins didn't play for 8 years.
Good point, yeah. But he kept a contract the entire time, and rightfully so.
Rightly so.
Mate, it's... yeah, it's interesting what's going on with him because like he's the best player that they've unearthed since Kevin Peterson. Do you reckon?
Hey, yeah, up there for sure. Yeah. It's one of those ones like occasionally players come along that are really well understood by other nations. You know, like England has a thing with Mitchell Starc, for example. You know, England's just like doesn't understand why Australia doesn't just make him the spearhead for every single thing.
Which
you know, fair play. Well, that's fine. Yeah. I think Australia has it with Jofra Archer. Like, and I just look, you know, far be it from me to comment on how it works culturally in England, but I just think it's one of those ones where like, holy shit, we've got a fast bowler.
Yeah.
Not, what's this?
Yeah.
And it's like just bowl him forever. Yeah. I mean, Australia probably a little bit more history with Thunderbolt bowlers, and you can just see, obviously, when you get to a certain velocity of speed, something happens to the body where it's just like you need to actually take it easy for a bit. You need to manage what they do. So I really hope, he's such a great player, I really hope that we're not looking at like perpetual injuries from him. And you know that there are a lot of dog whistles out there about him working hard and not working hard enough and stuff like that. I'd just be listening to Jason Gillespie, who's his coach at Sussex. Mm-hmm. He'll know how to manage that and just to follow whatever Dizzy says is probably the right way to go about it. Because clearly what's happening in the England setup isn't right by definition. He's gone now. You know, he's doing an eight over bowl off against Mark Wood. Full speed when he's injured. Clearly.
He's got a stress fracture.
Clearly
his
he's not being managed correctly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'd love to see him out here. I'd love to see him out here bowling heat.
So for instance, like Anderson, like no one's like burst on the scene in England the way Archer has as a bowler, because Anderson was just like in the team and then he got, his skills got better.
And he was
better.
Shit for a while.
Same with Broad, and then it's just like, but now they're fucking probably the greatest opening partnership in the history of cricket as like, in terms of like collective wickets. Got amazing.
It. Yeah.
But listen, no one's like burst on the scene like the way Archer has, and like it's exciting. And you want him to bowl here as well, because you think like, because Anderson can't bowl here, can't bowl with Kookaburra. His skills are offset by like the pitches, the ball, lack of humidity in the air, like that kind of shit. Like, whereas Archer is just like, you know, it's fucking velocity. He's like, he'd play 206 tests for Australia. Yeah. And it's exact amount, that's the exact amount of
exact
tests
amount,
he'd play.
Yeah.
I don't know, it'd be fucking awesome to happen here. But England get smashed in 2 years' time when they come out here, aren't they? 18 months, yeah. It's going to be 5-0.
Yeah, again. Australia's looking good.
Yeah. Australia's like on an upward trajectory, whereas like England have got like Joe Denley batting four or whatever. It's like, it's probably not the team.
Yeah. Well, they did beat South Africa in a test or two, so there was a bit of talk about them on their way to being number one.
How bad is South Africa? Then they beat Sri Lanka 3-0 over there.
South Africa aren't bad until we beat them over there, though. You know, it's out of sight, out of mind. Until it's like, you know, the only games that matter in Australia are those at home, or those you stay up for or whatnot. Same with South Africa. So if I don't see Australia beat them, then they're still good, and they're still, you know, Hansi Cronje.
Mate, I think about the 12 months just being the CA Awards. You think about the 12 months of cricket that we've seen in the last 12 months, or 1 year, if you will, calendar year.
I will.
And you think about, like, what's the most cricket that I cared about? The fucking Ashes and the World Cup. And those Ashes, oh, man, I was up at, like, 4 a.m. watching
amazing.
That. And watching fucking, like, when Hazelwood got the last wicket at Manchester, that was so fucking cool. And Steve Smith won no accolades this year. And rightfully so, in my opinion.
I mean,
Dave Warner is the best player.
Well. Hazelwood's a king, man. He's right. Such a king. He should be first picked. Anyway.
He's good.
How's that for analysis? Yeah. Subscribe to this podcast. Great review. This is what you tune in for.
Mate, we just speak about the Women's T20 World Cup is coming up. So Australia play in the final against the tri-series against India and India and England. Sorry, and they beat England on Saturday before that bushfire game.
Yeah,
and they play against India in the final. But like Australia lost two of those games, and it's like we're not used to seeing the Australian women's team lose any matches.
Yeah,
let alone not win by 10 wickets.
Now they've hit a high height. And Australia being Australia, that's the height that they'll need to continue to play play at forever, like in perpetuity.
Yeah.
So, any losses from here on in, we're talking effigies.
Hey, mate, let me put it to you. Like, has there ever been a more higher pressure on a female professional sports team in Australia than the women's cricket team coming into this World Cup? I think Kathy Freeman.
Yeah,
Olympics. That's high pressure.
I think the women's swim team get a bit of pressure when you talk about like Libby Trickett, Steph Rice, Susie O'Neill earlier, Sam Riley. You want? I mean, we just wanted gold from them. We were just so ravenous for just give me that gold for our national self esteem. I don't think the women's cricketers are quite there yet. But if Cricket Australia have their way, they will be, because it's a paradoxical situation. Like the fact that the women's cricket team now has the national self esteem on its shoulders and trying to solve. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a lot of issues going on. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Name a couple of them: coronavirus,
Brexit, bushfires, flooding. Brexit,
Iowa caucuses, stuff like that.
All the stuff. Yeah,
a lot of stuff to deal with. The women's cricket team have a lot of pressure to win, because that's the only kind of release we get. That's the only way. Yeah. That's a national dopamine that we need.
Yeah.
So you're right. There is a lot of pressure, but I don't think there's as much as there was on Sam Riley and Libby Trickett later.
I can't be framing that 400 metres. What a race.
Well, that she had a bit of pressure. That's why she wore a suit. Get away from me. But she won. So well done.
Incognito, yeah. Marion Jones, unlucky to be ruled out of that. And then Sledge, Kathy Freeman saying, I would have won that race.
Did you say that? Marion Jones said, I would have won the 400.
Yeah, was she banned at the time for drugs? I think she had a 1 year suspension.
No, she won. Marion Jones won the 100 and the 200.
I think Marion Jones. Who was the 400? Like, Kathy Freeman's like main rival. People are like screaming down their info and it's like, tell me who.
Christ.
It is. A 400 meters, like major rival. Is there actually a French? Is
it
a French?
Yeah,
woman?
It was. It was not Marion Jones. It's a double barrel.
Marion Jones went to prison for dealing drugs. Like peptides and that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting to Olympic stuff now.
Yeah.
That's what the fans want.
Okay. That's what they're asking for.
Hashtag ask TGC.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got for me?
Marie Jose Parekh.
Yes, Marie Jose Parekh. Yes. Come on. Good.
Feels good.
Yeah, and there's no internet here at all. So yeah. you kind of have that to be head. Oh, that feels good to say that name again.
Yeah.
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 She was like, yeah, she sledged.
Yeah, it's good.
Cathy Freeman. I was like, oh, I would have won that race. Yeah, she was serving a ban at the time, so she missed the Sydney Olympics. And she was like Cathy Freeman's main competitor. And Cathy Freeman obviously.
She was injured anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good.
Anyway, that's the women's T20 tri series.
Well, Elisa Healy's out. Watching Elisa Healy last night, Elisa Healy won the ODI Player of the Year. She won the T20 award as well.
Yeah, that's
missed
right.
out on the big gong. I don't know how that makes sense, but she did.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, actually. Because, like, we were lucky enough to speak with her last week with Channel 7, and then we spoke to her on the red carpet as well. And she seems particularly sheepish about her achievements because she's currently out of form. Which is something endearing about that
only
as well.
Only was your last innings, mate.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, and you're talking inside your mouth again. But I find it a little bit endearing. She was just like, "Oh, look, she's like, I can't buy a run at the moment." They're my words, not hers. But you know, hopefully she can score it because she was absolutely destroying everybody.
I remember when Dave Warner came back from to now talk about the men again.
Do you?
I remember when Dave Warner said he came back from the Ashes. He said, "I'm not out of form. I'm out of runs," and he came home and hit 335. Not out and disrespected Bradman. How can the guy who disrespected Bradman win the Alan Border medal?
Yeah. And also.
He took it away from our Steve. Well. Aussie Steve.
Warner's now won it. What's that? Is that three times Warner now? Twice?
Has he?
Three times?
Has he won it before?
Yeah. And I mean, Warner
never won it.
Only
disrespecting Warner.
Ponting and Clark have won it more times than once. Yeah. So and Warner won it zero times. So
zero times.
Disrespected Warner.
Why is it called the Alan Border medal?
Well, they're just naming it after the grandfather of modern Australian cricket.
Yeah,
granddaddy.
He's granddaddy for
Godfather.
Us. But like, why not Bradman? I know that there is an award for the Bradman Young Player of the Year.
Everything's named after Bradman.
Yeah, it's a bit tiresome, isn't it?
Mm.
So Borden there did something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose he did all
the we saw him last on the big screen. Felt good to see him. Big man. Speak of safety.
Do you reckon Alan Border would go well on the show?
Oh.
He's got a great cricket ground named after him.
If you get the questions right. Like, you know, the interview's only as good as its questions. We've always said that. Lift the hood.
Fourth wall stuff,
I think if you get the right questions, you research it. I think if we just sat there and we were just like, oh, what was it like playing with Merv Hughes?
Who's the best bowler you ever faced?
Yeah, who's quick?
Yeah, who was quick? West Indies, what are your thoughts? Yeah. Pretty good.
What was it like playing West Indies? Are they good? That would be a bad interview.
Like, I can't wait to ask him that. When I see him on the street.
And so it's like, my dad played against you for Mossman in under 13s. And you're like, that's the sort of stuff that people want. From New South Wales, Alan Border.
Relatable stuff, yeah. Oh, Pez's dad played against hey, what else is happening in cricket? Anything else?
Probably, as people scream down here as well.
Jose Parekh.
More Parekh stuff.
More Parekh stuff.
If possible. I think the listeners would have clocked by now that... this is more of a post-CA Awards kind of casual conversation.
Look, we had a couple of drinks. We're a bit dusty.
We did. We had lined up Dan Christian yesterday to be interviewed for this cast at the CA
Awards.
But there was a lot of...
fucking eyeballs everywhere.
A lot of eyeballs from Crown people around. Mm. We couldn't find a room and it just wasn't correct. It was
trying to record in a casino.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting some numbers going there. I must say, I would encourage listeners to, firstly, respect to Sharon Treadrow induction into the Hall of Fame. Clearly, bold wheels.
Apparently.
It would have been great to see some footage of that for our own.
Dickie Bird said that she bowled 82 or 83 miles an hour.
Yeah. And then she went on to say, well, I think he's being nice because he had a cold once and we looked after him. And I love that kind of, that rootsy kind of storytelling.
Mate, that's elite honesty.
Yeah. And then later on in the conversation, fortunately or unfortunately, depending upon your views and your proclivities for humour.
Yes.
She was asked by Tim Lane, for those who weren't watching, whether she kind of...
any stories?
Well, she said that Tim Lane said, "Look, do you think it would have been nice to get some of the spoils, you know, that the current players do?" And Sharon explained, "No, look, I wouldn't swap anything for my teammates and my experiences. You know, when we toured, we didn't stay in hotels; we got billeted out." And she goes, "Oh, so, yeah, one time in the West Indies, and I'll just let you finish. I'll just let you go and have a look at that story.
Have a look at that."
But suffice to say, I don't know if anyone listening out there remembers being at school and not being permitted to laugh, but that making the laugh even better. Mm. I was literally in tears at what subsequently was said. Especially
can't confirm Pez was crying.
I was crying at our table because especially just when the kicker came that there were eyeballs peeping through the windows, and it sounds.
You got to look at it.
You got to. Yeah, look at it.
Try and
it.
Be online. Yeah, it'd be online. I'm sure no one's edited that up. One of the great stories.
So good. Yeah. So tell us about one of your stories, all right? Yeah. And then what you came up with was just fantastic. But credit to it.
And
it is hard to speak on national TV when you probably haven't done media ever, long time. Just that particular story as an example of why she wouldn't swap it for the current players was pretty good. And well done, Craig McDermott, who was like the boss king of our
childhood. Craig McDermott was my first favourite player. Yeah. He was my first favourite player. Yeah. Bob with a watch.
And also super, like, he was quite...
But with, like, a Daniel Wellington watch.
He was, like, G-shock. Classic Australian fast bowler.
Yeah, mate.
Like, one
McDermott's fucking rig.
Yeah.
He's, what, 50?
Yeah.
In his 50s? He's fucking rig.
Yeah.
His shoulders, chest, his fucking Baywatch, he's big, beach, Gold Coast, Queensland shit.
Yeah, and that's what Australian cricket needs.
That's what I want at more. The time.
Well, and still does. Yeah. The Queenslanders need to step up.
Yeah.
In Australian cricket. They do in terms of voting.
I've leaned into you here.
Yeah.
I'm invested.
Australian cricket needs more Queensland in it. Marnus obviously plays for Queensland.
More Ben Cutting?
Whatever. Just the attitude. You know what I mean? I need more Craig McDermott stuff. I need more shoulders and rigs and chests. I need more sort of burly surfer types in the side.
Yeah. Mike Whitney stuff. Barrel chests.
Yeah. But he's from Sydney. So.
Yeah, I know. But there's surf things. Like Mike Whitney always talks about how he loves the beach and stuff. He grew up in Coogee and beach stuff.
I just need some.
McDermott, I can see in a Baywatch fucking slow motion.
Yeah.
Like just him like running in slow motion.
Didn't thank his son, Alistair. There's a bit of talk about that. Anyway. Yeah. Whatever. It's not for us. I'd really.
Thanked Ben.
He thanked Ben. Yeah. Anyway. I feel weird talking about family stuff. So let's just put it out there.
Goodbye, Lobot.
See what happens. Hey, great shape. Nicked off plenty of blokes. Mark Waugh, second slip.
Got Tendulkar.
Great bowler. Yeah, him and Murphy's.
Good little bowler.
Good little bowler.
Hey, let's do hashtag RCDC after the break. True blue.
True blue. Give it to me straight.
Hey, you know what, you guys?
Face to face.
Look, we've given Budgie Smuggle a lot of time. Just in the spirit of this show, make this quite quick.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We've got some budgie smugglers out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's called the Great Australian Rig.
They're fucking incredible.
They're incredible.
They are incredible.
Incredible. They're on sale. They're limited edition. Mm. They have all sorts of male faces and pictures of torsos and eyebrows and calves.
I think my favourite one is, I don't know why we did it. Someone wrote it in, obviously, but Jordan Silk's neck is on it, and he wrote it to us, and he's like, appreciate the
He said humbled.
Yeah, humbled. Humbled. Yeah. He loves it. It's great.
We've got Adam Dale's hips.
Aaron Finch chewing gum.
Yep. Dimple.
Dimple, yeah. But I think the nomination was him chewing gum.
I thought it was Aaron Finch's dimple.
Okay, right, okay. Well, both are good.
Yeah. Nathan Bracken's hair.
Yeah, that's good hair.
Marcus North's kind eyes. These are all things that are on the Great Australian Rig budgies. They are genuinely limited edition, and I mean this. I think they're nearly gone.
Yeah.
So
it's incredible.
Get on, and that's
they're amazing.
Finally, we've got something to talk about with Budgie Smuggler, and I want to finish talking about it. So budgiesmuggler.com.au, both will work.
Just to keep the show on the road. Hey,
Hey Pierce, should we get into hashtag?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Jeez. It's a good show, this.
I forget what's else. Mate, we should speak about, mate, it's coming to that time of year, end of the summer. If you want us to appear at your end of season awards, your awards night, if you want us to sledge your teammates or yourself, we're available for corpies.
If you want to see yourself, your team, your community reflected through satire and feel a little bit jarred by it, but somewhere deep inside thinking, finally my story is told, then get in touch.
Mate, we're going to the club that Pavel Florin.
Yeah.
Is that Surry Hills?
Surry Hills.
Surry
yeah.
Hills.
Yeah.
Surry Hills
Melbourne.
Club. We're doing that. So it's a Melbourne one. We went to Perth last year for one. Sydney's always around.
I'm doing the cricket club I played at, North Sydney. So that should be pretty meta. No, just me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sorry,
cool.
Mate.
Oh, that's all good. Mm. Oh, I'm busy that day anyway. What's the date for it?
Mm.
Yeah, no, we've got something on. Mm. So anyway, we're available. So we can come and meet you, talk to we'll Mocky Club.
We'll slide into any DM.
Slide into all the DMs.
Mm.
Okay. Anything else going on? No.
Possibly.
Yep. Who knows? Mate, I've got to say, shout out to the people that, first of all, got to this part of the show.
Yes.
And also, secondly, the quality of RTDCs recently has been really strong. I don't know if there's been like, it's because it's like a bit of a break in the cricket, or it's like it's this time of year, right, Pez, where it's like people are like, you can't make finals. All your season goals are fucking out the window.
Yeah.
This is a real
it's
dark time for cricket.
It's particularly existential time
February,
in the season.
But you're fucking in June in your head. Why do I have to swear then? You're fucking June.
You didn't
head.
Need to, yeah. It's just a kind of reflex to aggressive.
Well, it's cricket, man,
language.
Isn't it? Say you
no, it's you. It's something you need to speak to somebody
thing?
About.
Ben Lennon writes in. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, the questions are good. We really appreciate them coming in. There's fucking hundreds of them every week, and it's fucking good.
Oh,
it's I appreciate the people who write in.
No, that and it's quite jarring when somebody writes in a manner that is like superior to one's own writing. And
you're frustrating.
Like, yeah, you're like, oh, that's really comically written. Yeah, it's beautiful. So it won't get read out.
Yeah,
and that's just toxic masculinity once again.
Well, this one comes
by the
in.
Way, sorry, speaking of that. Yeah. Just noting Zampa and Stoinis at the show, at the awards last night.
Yeah.
A few linguistic pieces popping in. Now, we did around rare units, et cetera. And their
rig-based
claims,
selection.
Yeah, rig-based selection, rareness. Now, here's TGC's position on this. Well, this is my position anyway.
Okay.
Initial reflex.
Speak for us.
Initial reflex is to go, okay.
Eyebrow stuff.
Okay, you're picking up a couple of movement things. Yeah, okay. But then you go, no, it's nice. It's a movement. You know, I want. We like to see it's people good. Getting rarer. Getting it's rarer good. Is good. That's what this is about. Mm-hmm. Again, lift the lid. Yep. Did you see? Peek under the hood. Mm. That's really good. It's a nice movement. Went up to Zampa later in the evening. Said that's plagiarism. Mm. Obviously,
what
said,
did
no.
he say?
He said no. It's JL. JL calls us rare. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
We're not gonna claim the creation of the term rare. Yeah. People are bringing that. I don't know if that was in the lexicon. Yeah. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
As if fucking Zampa talks a langer.
Yeah.
All right.
Zampa did enjoy saying last. I will live, one thing he said was, he's like, look at everyone around here, mate. He's like, all these cricket guys, only about three of them are invited to my wedding.
And that includes us as well. He said that to you, who I presume is not invited to his wedding.
Insiders.
That's good stuff.
Welcome to Insiders.
Ben, welcome to Insiders. Hashtag RTDC. Ben Lennon writes in. And the headline of, I presume this was email. Either cricket attracts fuckwits or people become fuckwits because of cricket. Dear TGC, I play grade, club, park, hard wicket shit, cricket in Adelaide. And last weekend, we made the trip down south to play away against a club who will remain nameless. It was the first day of a two-day against the top side. We are sitting third bottom. Fortunately, we received torrential rain the night before and were very confident that the day's play would be cancelled, even on the hard wicket deck. For reference, the ground that we were playing at is about 40 minutes drive from the majority of our side. I made my way out to the pitch, and after careful inspection, the umpire advised myself and the captain of the opposition, Prick, that the surface was too dangerous to play on, and the game would become a one-dayer next week, much to the displeasure of the Prick, who was keen to try and get us outright.
Jarring word.
I told five blokes that had rocked up so far that the game was called off, and at that moment got a call from one of our other guys who was on the way, so advised him that it was canned. Upon doing this, the opposition captain, Prick, overheard and immediately stormed up to the umpire, advising that it would not be in the best interest of the captain to advise those in the 40-minute drive to turn around and go home, as we only had five people at the ground, still 45 minutes until a scheduled start of play. And if nobody else rocked up, he was going to appeal and the umpire he was going to appeal to the umpire and deem that we had forfeited the game, giving them an outright victory. The umpire advised that technically he was right, so I was sworn to secrecy regarding the fact that the day was cancelled. 10 minutes and some petrol money later, three guys rocked up and we were allowed to depart the godforsaken shithole and drive back to civilization. I write this to you now, and not immediately after it happened, in case of any of those C-bombs listen to the cast and use it as ammunition for my stroll out at 7:54 this coming Saturday. I know you hate long fucking essays, but honestly, I just had to talk to someone. Fuck this sport, Ben. And then he wrote after that, NB, dear TGC, I just wrote to you about the ship bloke who tried to claim a forfeit and received a response of great question. This email is a test to figure out if you've become so first grade that you've set up an auto reply talking out the side of your mouth, or if you genuinely appreciate it, or if you're taking the piss because there was no question. Fuck this sport again, Ben.
God.
So he's played against a bloke who wants to win by a forfeit. I'm thinking that the Sydney Sixers would have loved nothing more than to knock the Melbourne Stars out of the competition, the Big Bash, by not bowling a fucking ball. No greater victory.
I think it's a huge, like, social dynamic that we haven't really explored much on TGC. Well, the politics that come into play when there's rain. Who takes what position? Who wants to play? Who doesn't? Yeah. I mean, for me, rain signalled the alleviation of anxiety that came with, like, needing to perform. Yeah, any time there was no cricket on, I felt better. Now, that reflects poorly on me. I don't think I could ever recall a time in grade cricket, even though I pursued it with the time of a part-time job that I paid to do. I told people I was a little below state, but actually if you do the maths on it.
Mate, you're a good little player as well.
Yeah. I still think every time it rained, I was like, great. And I know I got older, when I got older, I realised that that was because it's just the alleviation of anxiety of having to play.
Mate, I hate it, mate. I know this is about me.
I didn't want to play.
But, like, mate, I didn't like it when it rained.
You
want to
get on.
Well, because, like, I didn't know what to do with my Saturdays then.
I was just hoping I just wanted to get out of there.
I've committed my entire life every Saturday since I was fucking, five, six, four?
Oh, so you're talking about rain before you even get to the ground.
Oh, okay. So, for instance, like, captaining aside, fast-tracked my retirement from the sport. I say retirement from the hobby that I pursued.
Yeah.
But because, like, all the admin in terms of, like, fucking... When it rains, the umpires take over and it's like, oh, this is my time to shine. Oh, yeah. Run-up's a bit wet. Who the fuck has ever broken a leg because it's wet outside? You got fucking spikes in your shoes. Play the fucking sport.
It's more the way the umpires walk onto the ground to have an inspection. Look, we're going to have a look in 10 minutes, boys. We're going to have a look at 2:40.
This is our time now. This is our time.
But there's always,
I'll let you know when you can play.
Like, it was the thing that was so annoying about rain was, like, you just, like, you need to stay switched on and nothing's happening. Because you're like, I don't want to be the guy that gets nicked off or our team just crumbles because we have mentally left. Like, you have to be that team that stays so strong to, like, actually make, like, to win the rain delay and what it does to you psychologically. And so you wanted your captain to be the one who's, like, agitating to get on, boys, get ready to play. Like, I always liked having captains who were like, you've got to presume we're playing, even though everything, like, you know, sort of suggested otherwise. And looks like that was that this guy here. I don't really understand with the question how, like, play can be abandoned officially for the day and yet there be some recourse for the opposition to appeal for a win, especially if there's one day the following week. But let's just go with the hypothetical anyway.
Yeah, let's go with it.
The guy who's doing that, who said, oh, look, it's in your interest for guys to come here, otherwise I'm going to appeal to the umpire. Well, he has issues, obviously, in his life.
Yeah.
If you're that person.
Yeah. He has issues going on outside of his...
Yeah. If you're an adult male, you're a fully grown person.
Fully grown adult male.
You're obviously very, very, very angry at something or many things in your life. Yep. So you say to the opposition captain, like, I'm going to require you to not tell players who are driving 40 minutes to come to this ground... to let that happen. I'm going to cost adult men who have other things that they could do with their time. They might have families. They might have sleep to catch up on. They might have financial administration they need to do.
They might have worked entire weeks. This is their one escape.
Yeah, they might have. And instead, I'm going to make them in a very, very petty way. Actually, I'm kind of starting to like this guy.
I see his
drive
point.
Yeah, I can see his point. Yeah. And his name, Sam Perry.
Why did you do that, Ben?
He's got a lot of problems with himself, and that's why he's such a good cricketer. That's why they're top. All right.
That's why he'll succeed at the game.
Exactly. In life. That's why he owns a house.
Yeah.
Oliver Cutbill, sounds like a normal name, writes in, a real name. he writes, when Warney narrated the Fox Sports introduction to Boxing Day, I cried out of both eyes. I was already crying out for my right eye under an eye patch after a Christmas Day trip to emergency.
What is this question? What a great fucking opening two sentences. Oliver, I'm fucking in, man. I'm in. Go with me.
Said trip forced me to sit on the sofa and watch the cricket. Having played a lot of cricket as a child, brackets, lone spinner and under 14s bowling office in North Sydney, close brackets, I had a latent love for the game that hadn't manifested itself for some years. This summer has been different. I voraciously watched all the cricket available and started voracious for watching cricket.
Yeah.
All cricket available and started listening to this podcast. I've started ghost bowling again.
Yeah.
I've broken two vases, a light bulb so far, and a light bulb that you meant. We've also had to buy a new smoke detector. Obviously, the world is falling apart around me, and it's all because of this hospital-born nostalgia. I reference cricket in every conversation and have even turned my best friend, brackets, in a stable relationship, close brackets, onto Adam Zampa for his rareness and stoyness for his levers. I was born in England and can't believe I've sunk to this level of Aussie slang. Uni starts soon and this cannot go on during the semester. Help. How do I achieve exit velocity from this? I can't make any progress. Disclaimer, no dad problems. Thanks, lads.
Okay.
Be going on.
Oliver, fucking love you, brother. Yeah. Appreciate you coming along the journey with us on the show. Nice. Great question. Mate, you need to quit cricket and get massive. No. I don't well, where do you start with that? I don't know. Okay, when he said I voraciously watched, like, is that like, how do you watch something with that amount of energy? Like, I've been, like, when I'm at home at the moment, man, like, I put on Netflix and it's just, like, stuff I've seen before and it's just fucking on. I'm, like, looking at my phone.
No, he's immersing.
Yeah,
he's a like, immersive consumption.
That's why Steve Smith should have won the fucking Allabord medal.
Yeah, because he is the
Because, like, that's the cricket that I was, like, it wasn't just on in the background. That cricket wasn't just, like, you drift in and out. Dave talked about it a couple weeks ago, just, like, walking in that room, it's on. That's cricket that you're fucking watching. Every over has context, it means something.
Yeah.
Even, like, ODI cricket during the World Cup, it's fucking good.
But he goes, that immersive cricket watching can only happen next to a majority of washing over cricket.
Yeah.
If the goal is to just immersively watch cricket at all times, and cost.
You're tired.
Well, you would, and you wouldn't have that much of it. But, like, there has to be shit cricket to enjoy really good cricket. That's my view.
Yeah, exactly. Mate, look at the World Cup. So, like, the World Cup, ODI, like, 50-over cricket, is exciting when you put on 4 years of shit, which means nothing. You go to India during fucking January, it's all just fucking on.
Yeah.
It's just all, and then, like, when you have a tournament that's in England and it's, like, good to watch, and you're like, oh, fuck, this means something. So you, oh, yeah, West Indies.
Yeah.
West Indies group game. Oh, yeah, I'm watching that.
And that's why we need a graded system for the A-beam. For the A-beam medal. Cricket Australia needs to put a category next to it, like, needs to weight it, like, the stall gift. It needs to have a...
different starting.
It does, it needs to have staggered starts.
Yeah.
You know, the Ashes in England, that's, you know, that's... who ran it? Kathy Freeman ran the stall gift. That's Freeman starting from zero. Yeah, and she won.
Daniel Batman?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying runners' names, I know.
If you were B-A-T-M-E-N, you'd say Batman rather than Batman. But anyway, that's a Melbourne thing. Okay.
Wait, what's that you would say?
Well, I mean, now we're going to, like, Victorian Apollo Melbourne history. Stuff. Well, Reservoir. Yeah.
This again. Reservoir.
Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah. V-O-I-R, Reservoir.
How
would
they pronounce the War Brothers?
I don't know, but, you know, it's a, good stuff. A couple of good tangents here. I'm not speaking for Melbourne. Anyway.
Charlie Harper. Mate, should we do this last one?
Yeah.
Mate, there's so many which come in. So, like,
if
you're written in, really appreciate it. And we'll try and get to it in the next couple of weeks anyway. Charlie Harper. G'day, lads. Just looking for a quick bit of advice. Last year I made the extremely tough decision to put my cricket career on hold for the lead-up to and during my Year 12 exams. This ultimately included the period of post-exam revelry, and I ended up not playing whatsoever pre-Christmas. Within this time period, I studied hard and achieved an excellent ATAR in response to which my dad said he was proud of. Consequently, I was accepted into my dream course at uni, and in addition, I was able to work a well-paying summer job. Went to music festivals.
Semicolon.
Yeah, this is a bit well-written. Should we move on? Went to music festivals, have strengthened my relationships with genuine and caring friends, and I'm now in the beginnings of a relationship with a girl who is miles out of my league.
Mm-hmm. Everything so far so good.
Oh, you fucking hang on to this, Charlie Harper.
See what happens next.
I bat eight and don't bolt, no. Despite the positive upturn in my life that has coincided with a lack of cricket in addition to the fact that I am a wicketkeeper, I have recently been plagued with an insatiable urge to attack and pick up a cricket ball one-handed and then throw down the stumps Nathan Lyon Brisbane 2017 style. Attack and pick up a cricket ball. This urge has coincided with an offer to play in the ones with my local park cricket club, which has a strong culture. You know exactly what I mean. What on earth do I do? Thanks, Charlie.
Good
question, Charlie.
I think you know what to do, Charlie.
He already knows what he's going to do.
What you're leading to. You can see that the, say correlation is not causation, but you can see that the success, the upturn, the uptick in your life coincides with no cricket. I don't see how turning to cricket to achieve some sort of obscure Nathan Lyon 2017 thing. Mm. I'm not sure that was a good reference.
I don't remember that run out. Oh, no, I do. I do remember that run out.
Sure.
Ashes stuff, I think.
Okay. that A tattoo kind of been for English. You know. I don't know, I'm being rude now. Yeah, leave cricket out of it, I'd say.
Mate, I'm in like a real funny place with my own relationship to cricket.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm like... weird way for you to say that. It's like I think I've not played enough period of time now where I'm starting to like go to watch my friends play cricket, just have a look at the standard, you know, just like, you know, shadow batting has increased in my own household. I miss part of it. I miss part of not playing anymore. And like, I could still play. I'm only 33. You know, I get a game somewhere.
Jesus.
But then you get to the grounds and you remember it's like the washover effect. Like there's heaps of good things about cricket, but there's more shit things about cricket, which is why this thing is successful that we do. Because most of it's shit. It's a terrible sport.
Mm. I thought you'd say most of our podcast is shit. Most of it's true.
Yeah.
109 episodes.
But like there's just something there. It's like it's still in my dreams. I dream about it. I still like look at, well, mate, I'm still, my life revolves around cricket. You go to the cricket grounds, you talk to cricket people. I still think about fucking seeing a ball, front foot press, hitting through the line, cover drives. I still think about, I can feel like the contact of the ball onto the bat and what that feels like. It's like this ineffable feeling of like satisfaction when you hit a clean drive or a cut short or whatever. And it's like it's all there. So what I'm saying to Charlie is, quit cricket and get massive, is to say like, if you can find this part of your life where you enjoy the game, if you can play at any level with you, hanging out with your friends.
You feel enjoyment.
If you feel happiness with playing the sport, it's a fucking national identity thing, especially in Australia, less so in other places, maybe India. But if you can find a place in your life for cricket where it makes you happy and it's good and you surround yourself around good people and you have good days out and you're outside and living your life, that's good. But otherwise, be good or fuck off.
That's all we got time for on The Great Cricketer this week. Thanks for tuning in. This is the episode where we would definitely invite you to like, rate, reply, do whatever. Especially those from other publications who
have burner accounts. Apparently.
I think have burner accounts because that's a normal thing for adults to do.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening. If you have made it this far, love your feedback on it. Really would love it. Tend to enjoy. Get that. Cheers.